Brute 33 adverts.
Brute 33, good shout again.
High Karate,
there's another good one. Brute 33 ads with Kevin Keegan and Henry Cooper. Yeah, spot on.
Even Muhammad Ali did it.
Did he do a Brute 33 ad?
He did.
Oh, right. Well, we've got to find that. Someone find it, post a link. Don't watch this shit. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're back. Second Friday in a row now. We're keeping our record going. If it's not on Friday, it's not on. Simple as that. We're joining me to discuss the week in tech, all the big stories. We're post CES, of course. So there's a long way to go with stories, perhaps. But starting us off, it's Mullers in the studio.
Oh, he never started me normally. Hello.
God, there's a delay on your video. Christ.
Is there? Yeah. Oh, crikey. Must be broken.
It's a long way out. Yeah. So how are you doing, mate?
I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah. Curried up.
Yeah, we've had a nice curry.
We've had a lovely curry.
Yeah. We've been watching the Trump news.
You guys broke bread?
Trump, apparently he's been caught out lying now, so he's in a big, big poo. Very, very big poo now, so it should be very interesting over the next few days, Jeff, eh?
You know, maybe this mug should have something other than tea in it. Just saying.
Well, if you've not seen the news, you'll probably be starting to... You'll be partying in a bit because he's really dropped in it now. So
I've been following the news, and it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out, and maybe we can finally bring an end to this long national nightmare.
Well, there was an MP here. She's not very well liked. Minch. What Minch? Is it Minch or Mench? That woman,
Louise Mench.
She put a tweet out hinting that there was something big happening this week, and it's clearly she knew something about it.
She's not a very nice person herself, though, from what I remember.
Very attractive young lady, though.
Yeah,
that's just not a very nice woman.
That only matters for 20 minutes, mate. next to him, it's Jeffrey. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm doing great, and this is awesome. Getting to hang out with you twice in one day.
I swear your Grizzly Adams beard has grown since I saw you on the Mac Show.
Oh, yeah. I probably should have trimmed it a little bit. Now, by the end of the show, maybe it will have taken over.
Very suave, mate. Very good. Yeah. And on his broke back mountain, it's Atlee.
Hey.
What's happening, brother?
Not much.
Not much.
Hand clapping, that's about it.
So you're off the antibiotics. The break is slowly healing.
Yeah.
Have you got a cast on?
No cast. What happened was I walked out my back door and slipped on an ice patch. Immediately stepping out of my door, went straight down on my elbow and shattered at the end.
Nasty.
Mate, you know you're in Canada, right? And that's kind of like that should be obvious. It's like...
Yeah, you should just wear yak tracks all the time.
Just... Stunning shoes, yeah.
Yeah. Mate. Well, are you on the mend, though?
Yeah, I'm on the mend.
Have they told you that your prognosis is good, or have they told you that masturbation is permanently out of the question?
No, I should be fine.
Excellent, mate.
Have to go a bit slower.
And last, but by no means,
if that's the case, I can recommend some products.
Excellent. From CES.
Well, you're going to recommend some people,
though. No, yeah. The hourly rate's too high, though. Making a welcome return. I haven't seen you in ages, mate. Alistair Downs.
Hello. Register.
How you doing, man?
Well, I'm okay. Worked through Christmas. Non-stop work.
I did too. That's all right.
So there you go.
Good man. And what have you been doing? Is it anything to report, or is it just the same old article writing?
Yeah, it's...
Public appearances. Kissing babies, opening supermarkets.
It's a bit dull, really, but when you're a freelance, you have to have a side string, you know, just a plan B of other ways of making money, just in case. Yeah. And my plan B was always software training.
Oh, right.
I actually worked out I earned more money doing that last year than I did in journalism. So I don't know if I'm on a crunch. I should just give up the writing and just...
Yeah, but you need to think of the laughter and mirth that you brought to people. Your journalism that you couldn't do through software, which you're never going to do through software training.
Tell really bad jokes, I don't know.
Yeah. The Week in Tech, all the stuff that's gone on then. So who's got the first story for us? Who's going to tell us the biggest of the big? Jeff,
how did I manage to get my story in first when I didn't even have the chat window in front of me?
I don't know, but Chris Campion's not here. Otherwise, Chris would have been first.
Oh, yeah, that's why.
He's a pain in the ass because he's always first in because he hasn't brought a second story. That's why. That's why he's fast-fingered Freddy. Windows 10 mobile is dead.
Officially, truly, really, for real's dead. Microsoft is dropping support for it soon. I think it's next year.
By soon, you mean end of the year?
December. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. End of the year. Or something. Yep. And so it's this is the end of Windows 10 Mobile. So a lot of people are picking up on the part of Microsoft's announcement where they said, hey, you know, if you're concerned about having support for your mobile device, then you better switch to an iPhone or an Android phone. Which, okay, fine. That's just actually a really good thing to tell people because they're saying, hey, pick a platform that's being supported. The big thing for me, though, is that with Windows 10 being gone from the mobile space, there's less competition to drive innovation, and that makes me sad.
It is, but I mean, Windows 10 Mobile is not being run on anything of any value anymore, is it?
No, which is unfortunate.
Well, they've kind of got. I mean, surely the kudos is the fact that they've got Windows 10 to run on handheld devices as well as it runs on desktops-ish. You know, it's an adaptable single-stroke format, so they don't need an alternate. But your old phone is going to be obsolete as a result. Okay, but that happens.
It does. I just really like seeing competition in spaces like this because it keeps all the big players on their toes and they have to keep innovating and improving things. And that means in the end, as consumers, we win because all these companies are really pushing to give us something that's better and better.
Well, and a duopoly I like seeing that competition. Much to the clients or users, sorry.
Yeah, no, it didn't. But I mean, how does this sit with the rumored Surface phone? Because I know there was discussion about, oh no, that's definitely gone now. But
The thing is, Windows Mobile is dead. Windows 10 Mobile is dead. They're still working on Windows on ARM. They're still working on the Core OS. They're still working on all the things that could theoretically and have been stated as being, you know, things that go into this new Andromeda, or I forget what the other one is, Polaris or the other ones. So that still could be in the works. But the thing is, Microsoft's not going to release anything until it's ready, until it's a good time for it to be done, and until there is a perceived way forward with it, because they honestly can't take any more huge failures like they have. Now, realistically, though, if you look at their huge failures, a lot of them can be sat squarely at the point where they just failed to execute.
Right. Okay. I forgot what I was going to say then. It was really good as well. It was really good.
Kill a conversation.
Batwing just put the app stopped being updated yonks ago. It's not been worth the money for a while, and that's why I went back to iOS.
So I'm kind of screwed because I'm not going to use Android or iOS. So I'm working on trying to do something else for myself.
Deep Pan said that when Alistair paused after saying his sideline, he thought he was going to say driving instructor for Prince Philip.
Oh. Yeah.
No.
That's funny.
I shouldn't make jokes about this, but often when I do work in town, I take a particular walk, which takes me past Buckingham Palace. And early every morning, and I'm talking about like 7 o'clock in the morning, they always have some people practicing on horses taking a carriage, and they're all dressed in black with black top hats. Every morning they practice this.
Oh, God.
The some of you know, we did rather well at the National Rail Awards this year, and the Century System got an award for innovation. Steph McGovern was doing the speech, and she said once a month the BBC make the breakfast team practice the speeches for the Queen dying.
Looking solemn.
Yeah, no, they've all got apparently they wear their normal gear. But round the back in literally in the studio, they've got to change in the studio. It's like if the news comes, someone holds the air for a few seconds while everyone changes into their black bits, and then that person then goes off and changes into the black bits, and they have to just change in the studio there and then, you know, modesty be damned. So when the camera comes back, they're all dressed in black and they've all got this speech to give. And he said, we have to deliver this solemnly, and we're all taking the piss and laughing, and it's... it's the practice that we have to do. And she told this story on Have I Got News For You? And she got a right bollocking off the producers. Cause it's like, no, the first rule of Dead Queen Club is that no one talks about Dead Queen Club.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is this a real... I know you're saying that there's a reduction in competition, but this is going to slope off like it was never here in the first place. Everyone's already forgotten it, haven't they?
Yeah, I think so. My guess is for a lot of people, the real news here isn't that Microsoft is officially dropping support for Windows Mobile 10, but that they still supported it at all.
Yeah.
But still, you know, the thing is, Microsoft didn't execute well in this specific instance, and we lost the potential for some really good competition here.
I think it was a sad day when they lost the Windows phone space, because they started to provide real good alternatives. And in places like Spain, Portugal, France, they got up to a 15% market share at times with Windows Mobile.
Their market share is higher than Apple's is now. It was there.
Yeah, it was. That's right. I said they hit the 15% mark, which was above Apple's. Because I remember I fell out with what's her name over it, Alison Sheridan over it. She quote your stats, and I quoted where they were from, and she wanted to pull them to pieces, and just bothered to leave me alone. but that was a real negative, and the 1020. I'd still go back to the 1020. You stick a 44 megapixel camera in a phone. I was just blown away by that. And the pictures out of it at the time for its peer group, they're shit now, but they were awesome at the time. Incredibly good. I remember doing, I did a closure at Hillingdon, and I was taking pictures with my phone and sending them via email to the comms team, who were going, oh, how do you get the pictures out of your camera so quick and onto the net? And I'm like, yeah, it's a tough job, but I'm set up for it. And all I was doing was taking with a phone. And if they'd have found out that I was taking it with a phone, they'd have been horrified. Steve, the guy that was the PM for the job, came out. He said, because he knew I'd been using a phone, he was like, I think your phone's been the star of the show, this closure. And it was true. It had. That was the 1020. Just absolutely brilliant phone. And one of the bashes, I think there was, we had something like 20% of people had a Windows powered phone.
Yep.
So it's a sad day, mate. Well, they've got to get back into that market. But I mean, they've had a catastrophic run of mobile stuff, haven't they? From the minute they released the Kin for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but the whole. Nokia Mobile thing that didn't work out for them.
Mm.
Yeah. And now, practically speaking, we have two mobile operating systems competing, and that's it.
And yeah. They're both old UI. The UI is taken from the 80s. It didn't even come out from the 2000s when they actually were released. I mean, if you look at the tile or the icons and everything else, it's...
Oh, yes, based on the iPod.
Yeah, well, the iPod wasn't that pretty either.
What's happened to Tizen?
I don't know.
holding out for a Scion.
I'm just saying, because Tizen, that's still out there, isn't it? No one knows.
Jeez, I don't even know.
Bit of Googling then, please. Report back. Yeah. Love my 1020.
Pilot phone, that'd be good.
Batwing says, love my 1020. I still have it, but don't use it.
I broke mine. Dropped it.
She was over in Tenerife this year, and she hardly saw an iPhone. Everything was Android. Linux for mobile. There is a Linux for mobile.
That's Tizen.
And there was a Firefox OS. But I had a Firefox phone. It was awful. But I think it was
better. Didn't that already get killed, though?
It might have done. I think it was meant for emerging markets like India and stuff. But I bought it secondhand off someone just to have a play with it. And I gave it to a bloke called Steve Litchfield, who you may know, has phone reviews and that. And I said, whatever you do, don't send it back. I don't want it.
Oh, that's pretty telling right there.
I just don't want it back.
And there was the review.
Well, there was my review. I might have a link to his review somewhere.
Was he more diplomatic?
He was probably a bit more diplomatic than me, yeah.
and now I'm stuck with this phone.
Probably gave it away as a prize.
Yeah. What was wrong with it?
It was plasticky. The screen was awful. I mean, it was like going back to the old WinCE devices, you know, the HP ones, that kind of quality. It was slow. There was hardly any apps because obviously it was a bit like Chrome, only there was just no apps for it. But the battery was abysmal. It was tiny. It looked cheap. I mean, at £60 I paid for it, but it was just a nasty, horrible plastic.
Yeah, phone. But apart from that, what was wrong with it?
I'll see if I can find Steve Litchfield's.
I was thinking of a Firefox phone. What makes a Firefox phone? Every time you switch it on, it says, just installing updates will be with you in a moment.
It was that bad. It was just a horrible phone. I can't remember who made it now. It was, but as I say, I think it was meant for emerging markets. It weren't meant for people like me. It was never going to be.
That is.
Next story then, we're going to pop over to Attlee because he's found is this a Microsoft bargain basement fire sale or something like that? Microsoft.
I figured I'd continue on the path.
God, I told you I needed another story. I knew he picked that one.
Microsoft gives up Cortana's fight against Alexa and Google Assistant.
Yeah. So continuing to their current philosophy is if you don't first succeed, give up again.
I shouldn't laugh. I'll only encourage you.
But it seems to be the current administration there is hell-bent on going, hey, this is really cool and we have an advanced lead on it. Let's sort of flounder along in it until we lose that lead and then just give up spectacularly. So Cortana is pretty much, for all intents and purposes, just going to be a skill that other people will probably not use.
It's a pity because I use it quite a lot on my computer.
I use it a lot here. I've got a couple of the assistants, and I use them quite a bit. I actually prefer the Cortana one because Microsoft's got a much better track record of protecting your information and not selling your crap out to everybody else. And so far, Alexa and Google have both proven that they're not. So,
what I like about Cortana is you can just say, Cortana, start Steam and put my game on, and it just happens.
Yeah, no, exactly. I look for Alexa on your tablet, which means I won't ever have any voice assistant on my tablets anymore. I don't know. It's just another sad thing.
See, I think there's a failure of leadership in this. Because when Nutella took over, he was IoT, IoT, IoT. That was all he wanted to do. And then he said, and we're canning the phone. And I said at the time, hang on, if you're talking IoT, the phone is the primary control device for a lot of IoT products at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, if you look at why is Echo so successful, because of the IoT elements. Why is Google so successful? Because of the IoT elements. And I use my iPhone constantly for switching on the radiators down here. For, you know, when I'm out, I've got the Reverb app where I can hold it down and just say do the following, and it follows, and all of my Alexa devices work. I can roll over in bed in the morning and say turn on the studio radiators to Alexa, and it does it. That, you know, there is an awful lot that Microsoft could have done, but they took away the primary interface device for IoT, having just said IoT, IoT, IoT.
Yeah, no, it seems that a lot of the things that they've been saying over the last few years have been counterproductive or counter to what they're actually been doing.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, this is really, really important to us, but we're going to cripple it by knocking the knees out of it here and here and here, and then not promoting it and not prompting it. And it just seems that I think that if this administration was running Microsoft in the beginning, you wouldn't have had Word, you wouldn't have had Excel, you wouldn't have had Windows, this company wouldn't have really existed, because they've lost literally all the long-term. One of the reasons that people ask me, why are you sticking with the Windows phone? I was like, well, this is Microsoft's game plan. They usually get in, hunker down, play the long game, and they always end up coming out ahead.
Yeah.
They did it in the browser wars. They did it with every single piece of software they've ever had. They were always far behind. They were far behind in Project, Excel, Word, PowerPoint, all of them. They were way behind when they started. They just persevered and kept properly marketing and properly bringing it forward. It's a long game. It takes a long point. I think what's happened is that the shareholders have too big of control over that company. And right now the administration is just playing to the shareholders. Everything else be damned. I think it's a fantastic structure to get the value of the company up, but I think the long-term gains are going to be lost.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I'm wondering, why didn't they just kill Cortana completely? Just, it's over. Because switching it to a skill, to me, is exactly that. Why would I want to install the Cortana skill when I already have control over all these IoT things through the comparable skill that's already available for Alexa?
Yep. I have no idea. They say that so Cortana is now being managed, I think, by the Office team now.
Yeah, 365. They moved
over to the Office group. But I think what they're trying to do is get integration in the skill set with Office functionality, so that you'll have the ability to use those Office skills through Cortana. But realistically, Cortana's going away and just becoming a glorified skills library. They could have just said Office skills and done away with the whole thing. I think that they're going to be losing out an awful lot when it comes to machine learning and ability to gather information on how devices are being used and what's going on with these devices. And I think that the things we're seeing happening lately in Microsoft really, really scare me in respect to the longevity of the company and their ability to go forward and do even bigger things in the future. I think we're looking at sort of the IBMing of Microsoft.
Yeah, that's a good point. As Cortana got an IoT interface functionality, is it? Because I never see. I go on Amazon to buy an IoT plug or something like that.
Can totally do IoT, a lot of IoT stuff with
right.
A lot of the major players have Cortana.
See, that's IoT the thing stuff. Though, is when I go on Amazon, I see devices say Google compatible, Alexa compatible.
Shut up, Cortana.
A lot of people are thanking you for that, I'm sure, that are listening. When I go on Amazon, I don't see devices talking about Cortana integration availability. So they've given something that they actually have followed their thing there about IoT then, but they haven't marketed that in any respect whatsoever.
And that's the thing, is I think that realistically, when they fired all their testers, they should have actually kept the testers and fired all the marketers.
Well, they market like they fired all the marketers.
Yeah, they have for a while.
Yeah, no, it just didn't seem to. It didn't. None of it seems to make sense. It's
I'm intrigued with this idea of Cortana becoming part of Office. Do you think he'll pop up looking like a paperclip?
Yeah.
It looks like you're trying to type a letter while darning socks.
It's good. I really like it, and it works.
See, that's the one thing that, and that's, I'll go back to when Cortana started on the 1020, is it was streets ahead. Its accuracy was massive. It heard what I was saying. When I asked it to give me directions to such and such, it didn't send me to a cinema near you. You know, it was massively ahead of Siri.
Yeah, no, I know. And then they sat on it, and then they killed the main vehicle that would use it. And that's the thing, is that even now, I have an iPhone, I have an Android phone, I have several iPhones, several Android phones. I every once in a while, I take them out for a while, use them for a day or two, always come back to the Windows phone because I really enjoyed the experience. I don't know what I'm going to do when this is no longer supported. I actually have a very, very sneaking suspicion I'll go to a flip phone.
Bloody hell, Kaza is Cortana. Yeah,
flip phones.
Razer V3.
Yep.
Excuse me, have you got a Razer V3?
Oh, no,
good times.
No,
a Motorola StarTAC, that'd be even better.
There we go. No, no, yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, go to a future phone computers or something that's, yeah.
The thing is as well, from what I understand from talking to someone who knew, Microsoft is also massively obsessed with Matrix management, and it's unified its functionalities under a Matrix management process, but has not. So for example, like Skype, when Skype was bought, the guy that was head of finance for Europe suddenly became the head of finance for Skype as well as. And there was no subdivision. It was just Matrix managed that he was doing finance, so he did that, or development went to that, or marketing went to that, when actually the people that were heads of those departments didn't know very much about Skype at all.
Yeah.
So, but that's typical of Microsoft when they purchase a product.
Yeah.
You know, either someone high up understands what it is and they push it and keep it going and it works. But usually what happens is they buy it up, everyone goes, what's that? And it dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there still the culture in Microsoft where different departments try to undermine each other so that they
can maintain funding? Yeah, I don't think that's unique to
Microsoft. It's a horrible business model.
Mm. Yeah, no, I talked to someone who was with someone in the Skype area, and they had their head in their hands over the Matrix management issue, because he said the people that we're talking to have no clue what we've spent the last 5 years doing because they don't know the product.
Yeah,
that's bad.
So who's got the next contritional story of Microsoft collapse then?
I don't, but...
I have a good one that doesn't make sense. I'd really love a second story if I can get one.
Well, we'll come back to you for your second story in a minute then. Let's take Alistair. Collection 1, data breach.
Okay, did anyone see this?
No, talk us through it, man.
All the figures.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
Yeah, this one's pretty crazy.
Talk us through it then,
mate. What I was reading most recently, you know, you have to make sure it's not a fake story these days, but they were saying, what is it, 773 million email addresses. And passwords, so it's 87 gigabyte data dump.
Jesus.
Of email addresses. So the full list together was 2.6 billion emails. Obviously, there are loads of duplicates. And this guy's kind of pulled it down, cut it back, and said, actually, unique email addresses, there's only 750 million.
And it's is it all in a CSV file?
And then... worked out that of the that's quite funny when you've got nearly 772 million unique email addresses, associated with them are only 21 million passwords.
Variations, yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
But they're all up there, and they were saying where have they come from, and the various breaches this guy reckons somewhere between 2008 and 2015, because the cyber experts who were looking at it found their own email addresses then.
Apparently,
this nice guy, if I can just call up my browser, if he's actually put it, he's not put everything online, but you can search for your own email address to find out if you've been pwned.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, pwned.
Okay, so you can pop in, and of course, my main email address has been done several times over the years, but I think they were all ones I was aware of, you know, LinkedIn and so on over the past few years.
Yeah.
Dropbox. So I do know I have changed them since then. I think there is a means of actually you searching somewhere, also searching for your bad passwords to see how often they appear in the list.
If you're using 1Password, the Watchtower feature in there will let you know every account you have where it's potentially compromised.
Hmm. But it was it's quite good, actually, just checking that out. But it was a large breach because it's come from... It's collected data from so many places, and there's so much of it. And sure, lots of it's old, but lots of it's not so old, and it's just so massive. I mean, literally going through that stuff must have been quite something.
To look for duplicates, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, bet find and replace, but still.
I've got to whittle this down from 2.6 billion to 773 million.
Now you know what to... Hey, do you want to go through the... Yeah, a bit of data journalism, a bit like that. I need to speak to this guy as well, but still trying to go through, trying to make sense of it, because everyone just wants to know, where has it all come from? But it's come from so many different sources, and it's just ended up, someone dumped the whole thing in one go, and people, you know, the hackers were sharing it straight away. That's where it got its name. Someone had put at the bottom of the screen, collection one.
And the collection came complete with 21,000 passwords, though, which is kind of, like, there's not even any security there on encryption, is there?
Yeah. I mean, what Troy Hunt, who's the guy that's set up that Have I Been Pwned thing, was saying is that he searched for some of his own passwords his own logins that he knew had been correctly hashed and everything, and they were on the list, unhashed. So... exactly how you breach something that was correctly hashed, encrypted, and so on. You know, it does. I mean, no one's actually said it here, so I shouldn't say it either. But it sounds like it wasn't broken in. It sounds like someone has extracted it from their employer.
Yep. My iCloud address is
terrified. Your iCloud address.
Yeah, that's fine. It's my Google one's been pawned, so I'll just change the password. But my iCloud address is fine.
Good news. Yeah, same for me on the Mac one. So if you go to haveibeenpwned.com, you can type in your email address and find out if you've been compromised. And
it does give you a list of places that, you know, obviously... It's not internally cross-referenced the full list that he's found online, but he's had a, you know, check and seen, tried to associate those addresses that have been found with previous breaches and tried to match those up. So you will see a list of likely culprits, not culprits, likely places that where those logins were sourced.
So I've the email that I use to buy online has been compromised by Collection One. This month, allegedly, which is interesting. Let's try another couple. I put in my Tall Space Media address, and that's not been compromised.
Good.
But that's a fairly new one. That's a year old.
Oh yeah. So that wouldn't. I don't think that would be in the list anyway, even if it had been pwned, but it wouldn't be on this list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the stuff that I was looking up, it was linking up to passwords that I had changed like 2010, 2011. So some of the data that's been culled together for this is pretty old.
Have they got your porn address?
No, that one has a lot.
Who are you talking to? Oh, sorry, yeah.
Probably all of you.
Right, so one of my old email addresses that I used in the previous name firm for OG2 was compromised by River City Media spam, and that was 2017, a treasure trove, as it describes it, of 1.4 billion records, including email and IP addresses. It doesn't say anything about passwords. No, there's no passwords there.
Or whether they're unique as well. Apparently, what the guy said was, for email addresses themselves, that the reason there were so many duplicates also is it treated things with upper and lower case as different from all lowercase or all uppercase. Whereas, so that makes sense for passwords, they're unique, but email addresses is relevant.
So I've just checked 7 of my email addresses, and one email address I don't use anymore has been pwned to hell. And none of the other ones have been touched.
So it's Dropbox, LinkedIn, Spambot, Patreon,
yeah,
and Trillion have all got my goop. I've come out of Patreon because they were terrible.
At the top of the list, Adobe. Well done. Thank you.
Daily Motion suffered a data breach with British Tech email address. I didn't know we'd ever subscribed.
Probably some of it as a joke for you. Like you can edit.
I had an email address that was the very first AOL email address I ever had. When you could set up 5 screen names and that kind of stuff. And the one that I used, I went on, have you been pwned? And it's like, it was like a vanity search type thing where I typed in the name and it came up and it was like, yeah, here's the breaches that you've had. And there was a physical list of people's email addresses with passwords next to them just sitting on the net. And I clicked on it, and I then started trying to trace who'd been using it and who'd signed up to stuff with it. And it had been signed to a Jewish, like a Jewish club of some description. And literally the next line down was a subscription to an anti-Semitic website amongst a whole pile of porn stuff. And it was just like, that's a kind of ironic. Mm-hmm. Those, and they're back to back. Was that the same person or not? So it's, I don't know. The chances are I've probably changed my password anyway in the last year. So,
yeah, I'm trying to make sense of some of the detail here, because the guy that was, who set up that site so you can search for it, is trying to explain how the hackers or whoever want to use this data probably don't even bother with the email addresses. They would just really like to have a whole nice list of passwords and just run all those passwords against whatever they can find. Because, as you know, people use the same password for multiple logins. And they just set their bots off to run that, and it's quicker than trying to check against particular particular email addresses. Just run those same passwords across everything. You might be lucky.
Call the brute force attack.
Yeah.
I've still got a problem with that idiot up north who keeps using my iCloud address. I sent him a letter to tell him, because he started a Now TV account. Of course, I got the email, logged in, changed the password, locked him out of his account, sent him a letter because his address was on there. He just stop it, mate. Made a complaint to the information commissioner, who told Now TV off. But now he's bought himself a BMW and signed up for the online stuff for BMW, which I think you have to sign in for something with a smart computer or something. And I've locked him out of that now. So he hasn't learned, has he?
No, he has not.
Because the email's come to me and I go, oh, that change the password. Okay, I get the email, change the password. Now log into your BMW.
No.
Just beep, beep.
I'll take control of his BMW.
Change his username to Effie McFface.
I don't know if it, I know his address. I might have to go. He lives near my cousin, so maybe I'll have to do a deviation one day and knock on his door.
Is that his address to a pedophile's watch list?
No.
Oh, geez.
No.
Oh, my God.
No. I did. I had someone years ago wrote me quite a vicious email that I laughed through most of it, although some of it, I got a bit of a twinge. But I signed him up to the Westboro Baptist newsletter.
Oh, my God.
With his email.
The trouble is, though, he's using my email, so I can't do that. I'll be signing myself up.
No, I registered his email. This is back in the days before you had to verify your email. And I signed him up for the Westboro Baptist newsletter.
That's funny.
Teacher. Yeah. You bastard.
Well, unfortunately, he's using my email address.
He's probably in the choir.
He's probably. Thank you for doing that. I found God, and it's the best thing that ever happened to me. Muller, have you got a story?
I have. As Atlee's nicked mine. This one's I found it in BBC Business. I'll just put the link in if I can find it. It's all about smartwatches and the Swiss watch manufacturers. So. The article discusses are the Swiss watch manufacturers going to be struggling or go out of business like they almost did during the 70s when the digital watch craze came out. It's quite a long one, but I think it's going to be more of a discussion between us. What the Swiss are saying is that there's no emotional connection with an Apple watch or a Nokia or a Withings watch. And there's more connection with these mechanical watches, and they are putting more Bluetooth and more smart functions in, but they're still mainly mechanical, aren't they? So are they missing out on a trick? If you want to read the whole article, it's probably better to read. Are they missing out on a trick? And if they are, there's one particular watch in here where they've put, it's $190,000 because they've encrusted it with diamonds, and it's got smart functions in it, and you're thinking, this is like the solid gold Apple watch that costs £1,000. Would you really buy one? Because once the smart bit goes out of date, you're just left with a case, aren't you? So I've got some thoughts on this. I just wonder what everybody else thinks, because I just think that they're missing a trick, but are they? And I've noticed in the Slack room, there are people in the Slack room are getting fed up with their Apple watches and are going back to their more expensive mechanical watches.
Yeah, I think the mechanical watches offer something the smartwatches don't offer. And realistically, I think that people are starting to get a little overwhelmed with information overload. And I mean, you don't need, I mean, I've got a Fitbit on, which I use to keep track of my fitness and to remind me to occasionally move my fat butt once in a while so I can lose some weight. But I wouldn't want a smartwatch that does anymore. I mean, I can even get notifications on this and I keep the notifications off because I already have 5 devices in my house that are constantly bugging me about things. And if I wanted more, I'd buy more. Like, I mean, it doesn't make as much sense. I don't wear a watch personally, but I definitely see the allure of having a nice watch. And I think the Swiss watches have a higher cachet. Like you've got the Rolexes and the Tag Heuers and some of the other brands that have a much higher, social asset or social clout to them as far as style and sophistication and class and things like that. So those ones won't worry as much. What might suffer a little bit is some of the lower end watches we might see a few of them go away. But I think that I don't think the bigger ones really have that much to worry about, because a smartwatch isn't really going to give you anything that you bought a Rolex for.
I mean, I get the element of suggesting that there is no emotional attachment to a smartwatch, because it's, you know, the hand-me-down element has gone entirely. You know, this Apple Watch was left to me by my father. Yeah, but it doesn't work anymore. The tight bars.
I think you've nailed it there.
And your father only had it for 2 years.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's soulless, as you know, it'll be replaced within 18 months.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the point. It's like, you know, and the cheapskate bastard handed it down to me knowing it was obsolete and didn't work with a new OS.
Yeah, I'm going to leave. Yeah, I've got a whole load of old mobile phones I can leave in my
It is exactly. You might as well leave a 3310 to your son when you die.
Well, exactly. I've still got it.
There's some people that would think that's cool.
Yeah, true.
Bat good wench. Point.
You know, there are different markets here that – the quartz movement market did not kill the Swiss watch market. Yeah. And the smartwatch growth isn't going to kill the Swiss watch market either. But
the digital didn't kill them. It caused them some problems for a while, but they eventually rebounded. And you see more Swiss watches than you see digital watches now.
And yeah, the manufacturers figured out how to pivot and stay relevant. And they will do the same thing here. The market, generally speaking, that is into smartwatches, regardless of the price, is not the market that's going to be heading out and buying a really high-end Swiss watch, mechanical watch.
I think that you could probably count on one hand in your city how many people are literally going, do I buy a Rolex or do I buy the new Apple Watch?
Yeah, and if you want to make a comparison here, whether it's good or not, I'll let you decide. The vinyl record market, that is still alive. Even though we've gone on to the digital music world, there is a subset of the market that really wants to have a vinyl LP.
£25 a shot there at the moment, though.
I see a lot of people with mechanical watches on. I mean, I still have my tag from this thing's probably 30 years old now. Maybe not that old.
That's Greeny's watch. Put your hand up to
it. It's not Greeny's watch. It's my tag point.
Greeny got them out of a container, 30,000 of them, and you bought one.
I used to watch the F1, and I always loved Keke Rosberg's car, and that was sponsored by Tag. And I always wanted a Tag, and as soon as I got enough money with my first job, I bought this. It took me a while, but and I think I paid... paid $600 for it, and that's going back to the 80s.
Late 80s. A few grand now.
Yeah.
Since Boxing Day, I wasn't very ill. I was on my bike on Christmas Day, but I haven't really completed many of my rings since Boxing Day. And I have to say that I agreed with Patrick in the Slack room the other day. It gets a pain in the arse. The damn thing's nagging you to get off your arse all the time. You're thinking, I don't want to. I'm not very well. Stop it. Leave me alone. And you end up taking it off. It's doing your head in.
Yeah, how come these health things can't work out? You're not very well.
Exactly.
Yeah, you should be able to mark on the Fitbit app, I'm having a sick day.
What's worrying, though, is when the Apple Watch puts a little warning saying, something's wrong with your heart. You've gone into something. And I look and go, I've been fine all day.
Final day, the watch is off. Why are you saying?
But now you're fretting.
But the Withings one's not well. It's the Nokia version, but the Withings ones are nicer because they don't nag you.
There's something wrong with your heart. Yes, because you sent me a message saying there was something wrong with my heart.
Yeah, but don't you get that when they test your blood pressure and they go, your blood pressure's pretty high. I mean, they strap this thing on your arm that's going.
I got my doctor gave me some tablets for blood pressure years ago, a couple of years back, and she put the automated machines that do it do it for them, and the cuff, and while the cuff's on, you can hear it going because it's slowly ripping. And coming away from the
yes, that's it,
the Velcro is opening. And yeah. I'm like, that can't be the right reading. She said, your blood pressure's a bit high. She said, we're going to give you a tablet. So she gave me this tablet, Ramipril. And it made me really ill. I was horrible with it. I couldn't stand it. And I just kept saying, I haven't got high blood pressure. I'm sure I haven't. And she went, well, how would you know? I'm sorry, but you have. And I'm like, it's right there. You've got it. Okay. And I had to stop having it. And then she gave me another tablet after that because it was making me bad. And that just was even worse. That was like instant acid reflux. Yeah. And, fortunately, she cancelled on me at the last minute for the next appointment I had, and I got given another doctor. And I quite fancied that doctor, I have to say.
What was his name?
And she said, so I said, I've done the blood test. It comes back high, but I don't think I've got high blood pressure. She said, did they use this? And she pulled out this cuff that was like an A2 sheet of paper, just massive. And I said, no, they didn't use that. They used a little tiny one. And she said, right, okay. So she put that on. And as she leaned forward to put it on, I got my hand on the desk. No, I got my hand on the desk with my arm on the desk with a hand open. she leaned over to the desk to put it on and stuck her right boob in my right hand. And it was kind of like, I hope she doesn't touch anything where there's like a reflex and I grab.
Did you get low blood pressure because it was all rushing into your
room? No, yeah, exactly. And then she cut this thing, did the whole thing with it, and she went, 125 over 75, there's nothing wrong with you, go home. She said, those little ones are crap. I never use them.
Yeah. You need to put gaffer tape up to keep them on.
Yeah, exactly. So there's loads of people running around on blood pressure medications that probably don't need it thanks to those little things.
My dad used to have low blood pressure, and he had a little party trick. He could tense some muscles in his armpit while you took his pulse, he could gradually make his pulse go away. It would just stop.
Ah, cool.
Was that called death?
Ultimately it was, but yeah. He always used to be able to do that.
Just stop breathing for half a day.
Just the thing on the watches is, personally, I've never been interested in expensive watches. I don't see appeal. And I've worked with, you know, people who have not high earners, you know, IT managers, you know, and they've got Rolexes and it's their thing. They really like it.
Yeah.
I think the only time I spent any kind of money on a watch was some super rugged... what are those Casio things called?
Oh, yeah, I've got one of them. Yeah. Shock.
G-Shock.
G-Shock, yeah. I always thought they were for kids, but
they
sell them on flights, don't they? It's an in-flight thing you can buy. But they're the only watches I've not been able to break, if you follow me. I always break them, scratch them or knock them apart.
Do you wear your watch on your dominant hand?
Yes, the Fitbit goes on the other one. Yeah, I mean, I go through these. I break them very easily, but...
My wife always wears...
dominant hand. No, I don't.
No, okay. My wife wears a watch on a dominant hand, and that's why she smashes the crap out of them, because she does it on the hand that's doing most stuff, so...
Well, my G-Shock, it can go to 300 metres in it. I think I've done 3 foot, but...
Yeah, good. What have you done? I slipped in a puddle once. I mean, it's just...
I did some diving in Australia with it, but, I mean, the battery went, and it was £60 to have the battery... battery was a fiver, but it cost £60 to have all the seals put back in, because it's obviously waterproof.
Of course, like going to a Genius bar.
Yeah.
Because the G-Shock, I had a G-Shock, and they changed it so that the battery compartment was separate, so you didn't have to take the whole back off.
Oh, this one's old. I had it when I went to Australia, but I bought it in Australia. So it must be 2005. That's an old one. I mean, it's only seen its second battery, so that's not too bad. It's £60 to get it changed.
That's a lot
of money.
So no one's interested in a Rolex with Bluetooth or fitness stuff?
No.
No, nor me, really.
Yes, the thought of the Swiss slurping my data, no.
I think the worst thing about Rolex isn't that it's if you break one, it takes months to get fixed. It has to go back.
What, don't they send someone around in a Rolls Royce?
That money. Not mine, because mine got I got it off a New York corner street. It was only $5.
Yeah, check the logo closely.
Sent by Swan.
It's called a Rolly, not a Rolex.
It was definitely Rolex on it. It just ticked.
So this is a fake. It's not a real Rolex. Why? Because it said Trolex and you've scratched the T off.
Oh, it definitely had Rolex on it. I bought it off in New York.
It's a Bolex.
It's a Trolex.
I bought it off a bloke at the side of the road by the Empire State Building.
Oh, that's the I've got you now. That's Rolex Tony. Yeah, he's authorized dealer.
Oh yeah, totally legit.
It was $5, it lasted ages.
Yeah,
that's certainly longer than Greenies watches.
This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Host. We are very indebted to them. Last year they saved our bacon and they stepped in and took over all the hosting of all the stuff that we do. We had two servers off them, two beasts of servers as well, to make sure we could keep up with all the demand for the download of the shows. We owe them the continued broadcasting, simple as that. What we need from you is, if you want to buy stuff from them, that's great for your hosting needs. That's great. Go there. You get BTN20 as an offer code and you get 20% off your basket. So that's superb. But what they actually want from all of the BTM people is brand recognition. They want loads of social media messages and tweets that are thanks at TSO host for supporting at British Tech. So if you're a listener to this show, that's all you've got to do. You haven't got to buy stuff. We're not trying to ask you for your money. Just get yourself on social media and say thanks at British Tech, at TSO host for supporting at British Tech. That's what they need and that's what they really want to get out of you guys. So please do that. Otherwise, because if we lose them as a sponsor, then you know we're running out of places to go slowly. And we'll have to start paying for it. And I haven't got them. You know, we don't make any money. This is all a volunteer thing. So please, please, please make sure you give them the brand recognition. And also give the brand recognition to Telestream as well, if you could. They've been great. They give us the Wirecast software that we run with here. And I've got to say, I'm really impressed with the latest iteration. I've learned how to use it now. Their videos are superb. If you look at the YouTube videos for how to run Wirecast, they're brilliant. And it's really, really lovely and stable. I've really enjoyed using it. So check them out. And thanks also to Hoya, because Hoya give me my glasses that I do the show in. And they fixed my, because I got measured for these custom glasses when I was 4.5 stone heavier. So they were measured for a fat bloke. So they've completely changed them and put them back for me. And I've never missed a pair of glasses before. But when Mark told me that these were coming back special D, I waited in all day for the parcel because there was no way I was spending another 24 hours without them if I didn't have to. So if you want a pair of Uniqus, send an email to podcast@hoya.co.uk and you can have some. Time for the cool things then. Start us off, Jeffrey.
All right, my cool thing is an app, and I totally forgot to grab the URL for you.
Do you want me to come back?
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
It's an iOS app, and it's called Wonderscope. And it's an AR app, and it's for kids. So, like you know, like young kids. And it lets them play this kind of cartoon game in the living room or out in the park, wherever, where they get to be part of like a carnival or a circus, and they get to control what's happening. And part of the game is you actually have to get to the event so that you can start controlling what's happening. And instead of just being a thing where you just move your phone around and tap on cartoon images that have been added to the scene, you also have to talk and say the right things. And of course, it tells you what you need to say, but you need to say the right things so that you can make things happen and keep the story progressing. And it's a cool little game. I downloaded it because apparently that's the level I'm at for games. But you know, it's a fun little game and I do have some young kids that are part of my life that can play this, and it's just a really cool, fun little game for them.
Jeff, you don't let kids use your phone, do you? Not with all the stuff that's on there.
That's a different phone.
Oh, right. The sex toy review phone is a completely different phone, got you.
As very, it should be.
Very wise, mate, very wise. That looks fun, actually. That looks loads of fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to get that. Is there a price for it, or is it a in-app purchase-y type thing?
You know, I don't remember. I think there's some in-app purchase stuff that you can get. But if it cost anything, it was like super cheap, like $1 or $2.
Yeah, it's free.
But it may have just been free.
Free offers in-app purchases. Amazing Stunts is $4.99, and Little Red the Inventor is $4.99. So it's not a bank breaker, is it?
No, and even if you don't do the in-app purchases, there's still a lot of entertainment in the game.
Yeah, no. That looks really cool, mate. Really impressed with that. Good pick. I like that a lot. Atlee, what have you got for us as a cool thing?
So continuing with my ongoing theme of robotics and how they can help us and improve our lives, South Carolina University researchers have started developing prosthetics that have sensors in them to help learn how the person, the patient, is using the prosthetic limb. And
dude, you only broke your arm.
Adjusting the gait and everything else.
What? You only broke your arm. It's not this bad yet.
I should have seen it.
It takes us back to the conversation we had right at the beginning, wasn't it?
I'm not suggesting you're a hypochondriac, but you only broke your arm and you're already picking out prosthetics. It's just...
He didn't tell you he smashed his knee on the way down.
I actually did smash my knee on the way down, but it's not that bad. Anyways, no, I find this really interesting. I've got a friend whose son has a prosthetic leg, and I know that when he changes, like his son is growing ridiculously fast. He's 13, he's 6'4", so he's growing really quickly, and he has to keep changing his prosthetics and managing that, and it can take hours or a whole day for them to manage the prosthetic and then go back several times. With something like this, the prosthetic learns exactly what you need and how your gait works and how you move and how you position your leg when you're moving. And it can tell them very easily and very quickly how to manage the setup of the prosthetic so that it's more comfortable and more available for the user. So they can literally, it can allow the patients to use a power prosthetic knee to walk on a level surface in about 10 minutes.
Excellent.
So it changes that whole thing remarkably.
I tell you what I did see online. I thought it was quite good. Instead of giving people crutches, there's this new sort of a fit artificial leg that like people with no legs have. And you put your knee in it and you can walk normally. It keeps all the weight off you, off the broken bit. And you can walk on it. Be interesting to see that, because I remember I couldn't use crutches when I bust my leg.
Crutches are the worst.
I know.
They're just so uncomfortable and so hard to manage sometimes.
Especially, I really enjoyed crutches when I had them. Broke my ankle and it was...
You really enjoyed crutches?
I really enjoyed
them. He still uses them.
I wasn't sore under the armpits or anything like that.
Well, I just thought it keeps coming up in my timeline on Twitter, and I just think, that's really cool, but why are you sending it me?
I think the thing was as well, though, I had crutches that went up under your arms. So I was spreading the load because I had some shoulder support and I had, or armpit support, and I had hand support as well as. Whereas the ones that only go and you get the ring that goes around your arm, that's all of the weight is going through your palm there, which is...
Oh, I had the ones under my arm, but I just found them.
I used my arms as well as the handle thing, and I found that the hands never, that you couldn't get the right adjustment on the hands. The holes are too far apart, so that you either got it way too high or way too low, and you just couldn't get that proper balance between... Unless you're specifically the body size or target that they're making one of those particular sizes for.
And adjustable.
But I think this is an amazing use of sensors and machine learning and everything else to come up with a real life, real case solution to a real problem.
Yeah, cool. Oh, it is cool. Quite expensive, I would have thought.
Actually, no, the funny thing is, I think that things like this will end up greatly reducing the costs of giving people prosthetics, because part of that cost is having a technician spend a day with the person to get them set. You put a few sensors on it, and as these sensors are being made more and more and more, they become cheaper and cheaper. And you literally can go in, they give you the prosthetic, you walk around for 5-10 minutes, they add the adjustments, and you go home.
Just don't go to the bathroom.
Okay.
Oh, don't you remember the certain athlete who shot his girlfriend through the bathroom door?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
okay. Yeah. Storyous or whatever.
Alistair, have you got a cool thing for us?
Yeah, it's not as worthy as that last one there. I'll just put a little link there, perhaps you can have a look at that picture. This harks back to CES again.
I don't think you should do yourself down here, mate. I think this is a fine pick. Anything that's beer-related can't be bad.
So basically, LG did very well because they showed off this really, I don't know if you've seen the photographs, really bendy-looking LED screen, and they had a video of running water, and it looked fantastic. So that's what all the PR was about. But at the same press conference, they released this. You can't even find this on the LG website, okay? But they showed it in front of journalists, and someone took this photograph. It's, if you like, an espresso machine, but it's a home brewery kit.
Hmm.
So instead of making your coffee in 15 seconds, it's still going to take several weeks, but that's effectively what it is.
Next payday.
Yeah, so you're getting basically beer pods put the stuff in, and then it becomes a little dispenser as well after, well, I don't know how long it would take. What would be the shortest period? I don't know. But I was just going through the list here. So the pods, you can get American IPA, American Pale Ale, English Stout, Belgian Style Witbier, and Czech Pilsner.
So
and each pod makes 5 litres.
Okay.
So this is the LG Homebrew. So the thing on the right there is 2 boxes, but the thing on the left is the product, the shiny thing with the beer in the middle.
So you've got to buy 4 of these so that you've got one on the go constantly.
Actually, I guess.
Do one each week.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But I thought, oh, great, let's get the press pack. I mean, I didn't get to see it, but there's no press pack. There's no mention of it at all on the website. But you can watch the video.
I just found their press release for you.
Yeah, Jeff's dropped it in the chat room.
Hmm.
But if you want to know any of these stories that we've been going through and that kind of stuff, then go to britishsetnetwork.com/chat, navigate to the 18th of January, and you'll see all the stuff that's in there, including all the pre-show stuff of the 1970s shit television we were referring to.
Hey, that is classic. That is epic television.
We've got to think of some more for next week. Your education must continue, Jeff.
I'm looking forward to next week. I can't wait to see what show you expose me to next.
Alistair, whilst Atlee's pick was very commendable and heartwarming, I'm sorry, but a home brewing kit has got to take it.
As soon as I saw the beer, I'm like, wow.
It trumps straight away.
Of course, you'd be able to say, Alexa, pour me a pint.
Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't
it?
Did
you see that thing the other week? Oh, blimey, I wrote about this, but someone had come up with one of these tracking devices for your wallet. So right. You can say, Alexa, where's my wallet? And it'll go, beep, beep, here I am. And it's under the sofa, yeah?
Yeah.
I say, brilliant. You're a burglar. Walk in. Where's my wallet? Beep, beep, here I am. Thank you. Brilliant.
That's awesome. That is brilliant.
That is.
Where's my car keys?
Yeah.
Breaking into people's houses now just to steal the car keys.
You know, just go up to the front window and put your hands up to the glass and shout through, hey, A-Lady, unlock the door.
Yeah.
Oh, God, she's got one of those bolt things that Patrice recommended the other week where it's IoT and it just goes ka-chunk and that's it, you're in. I've got an Echo here in the studio, and I can walk in the front door, which is through that door behind me, and then round. So I've got very little direct line. So she's only getting the echo of my voice coming through, and I can turn lights on and stuff like that quite comfortably. So you could shout through a letterbox. You don't want to shout too loud in case you wake the householder up, but of course.
Right.
Muller, have you got a cool thing for us?
Yeah, I'll stuck the link in. I bought this just before Christmas for my iPad. It just clamps to your table, a bit like what you've got over there. And it's quite a good little. Works with all the different iPads and that. And it's all adjustable. And it's really, really good if you're looking for something just to put your iPad in for a second screen or anything. I'd definitely go for this one.
That's not bad. I like that.
It's really good and it's really well made.
And the price isn't bad, 23 quid. Not too bad at all. 24 quid.
You just get that voucher, don't you? So £2 off. Yeah, I bought it and it's really good. It clamps.
Is it adjustable? Yeah. The clamps are adjustable?
Totally adjustable. Yeah, they're sort of sprung. If you look, there's different pictures there. If you look at the second picture, you just pull those 2 clamps apart and you just pop in whatever iPad or pad you need. It holds the mini and the normal size iPads. Nice. I haven't got any of the other ones to test, but they're the same size roughly, aren't they? So
it's only 7 to 10.5 inch. So it won't do your 11 or that kind of stuff, or 12.
Mine's 9.7. Yeah, it does my 9.7. I don't know, it might do, you know, because they pull out quite wide, but anyway, it's well made and
it's a great idea.
It's cracking. If you definitely need a second screen or want to watch some movies while you're doing something else, so, you know, well worth a look at.
Excellent, mate. Good stuff. Nice pick. Excellent. Where can we get a hold of you, Muller?
I'm Muller Biker on Twitter. I'm in the Slack room. I'm on Instagram. And that's about it, really. That's it.
Excellent.
So Jeff, just maybe think of another example there. There was Norman Collier, 1970s.
Oh, I think we have shown you Norman Collier before with the stuttery mic.
Yeah, my mic.
That sounds familiar.
Jeffrey, yeah, we have, I'm sure we have. But Norman Collier is a classic. Jeffrey, where can we get you, mate?
How about over at textexpander.com and smilesoftware.com and Twitter and Instagram, Jay Gamut, and a bunch of shows. And for those of you that didn't realize, the iOS show, we canceled that months and months ago, but apparently didn't realize what cancel means. And so new shows are trickling out if into that.
Because I actually only went through, sorry, Alistair, I only went through my phone the other day, actually, and saw the iOS show and saw there was no episode and deleted it. So,
it was actually new.
Serendipity.
But the fact that you deleted it, I mean, that I understand.
At the time, I'm going back a couple of weeks, but there was no shows. That was the point. I hadn't seen a show for ages.
Yeah, that's because Michael, with everything that's going on for him, doing the show just wasn't really feasible. But apparently, we just can't stop doing them. So we've done a couple, and we have some more planned coming up soon, too.
Excellent. Smack the Gappist says he can't see the show.
That's because he's using the wrong link. We need to sort that out.
Right, okay. Oh, it's us, our show. I thought you were talking about the iOS show. Atlee, where would you be, mate?
Well, you can reach me at atleehunter.com and on Twitter and Instagram at @atleehunter.
Excellent, mate. And Microsoft show coming?
Very soon. Very, very, very soon. The arm kind of threw me for a loop, but I've already got the guests sorted out and getting ready to do a taping, and we'll get it out there very quickly.
It'll be all like a breakout show, will it?
Yeah, we're gonna break the seal on that. I figured it's time to get cracking.
Oh,
nicely done.
Well done, good lad.
Tish.
I nearly called you Patrice then. Sorry, Alistair. Where'd you be? Where can people get in touch with you?
Okay, I write a column every Friday at theregister.co.uk. So today, basically. So today you can find out how China's turned me into James Bond.
Oh, other useful stuff. Brilliant. Excellent. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week. Max Show on 4 p.m. on Friday and The Big Show at 8 p.m. Come along and join us. Join in the chat room. Have some fun. And peel one back and start drinking it. We'll see you next week. Thanks for living.
Bye.
Awesome.